There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is something that every Christian is going to have to face at some point or another, I believe. Very few might be not have the opportunity to do this. I was going to say very few would be spared, but it isn't. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that we find in our families, in our churches, among our friends. As we continue to, as a society, to become more and more permissive, more and more accepting of not just same-sex attraction, but the same-sex lifestyle, how does the Christian, how does the church address that particular life situation? Someone who lives with same-sex attraction. Now, this is a very diverse question. I think it has several simple answers, but it's a very diverse question because you're dealing with people in all different walks of life, all different perspectives. Some of them are religious. Some of them believe themselves to be Christian, not out of line with the teaching of the church in any way whatsoever. Some of them are deeply troubled, wounded consciences. Some of them have no religious proclivities whatsoever. Nonetheless, the Christian deals with them as brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, friends, relatives. And we are not given the privilege of stepping outside of that and saying, well, I just don't want to deal with that situation. So how do we do it? How do not only we witness to people with same-sex attractions, but maybe even before that, how do we show them and demonstrate to them in a genuine way that we want to help and not harm them? We're going to be dealing with that question. Pastor Tom Eckstein will join us here in a few minutes here on Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, February the 11th, witnessing to people with same-sex attraction. I invite your questions or your comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or as I often say, for our beloved on-demand listeners, you can always use the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a comment line that we leave open for our beloved on-demand listeners, all of our listeners, 24/7. The number 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, live this Wednesday afternoon. The Issues Etc. book of the month is called the Concordia Psalter. This is a basic devotional resource. You know, you got your Bible, you got your hymnal, you've got your prayer book. This is one of those prayer books drawn from the Old Testament. It's called a Psalter because it kind of sounds like the Psalms. Well, there's a reason for that. It is the Psalms, the Old Testament Psalms, the hymn and the prayer book of the Old Testament, and I should say of the New Testament too. It's the basic prayer book for the Christian. It's interwoven with various devotional materials as well, and it's brand new from Concordia Publishing House called the Concordia Psalter. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call and order one, order more than one for you and a friend, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Joining us to talk about witnessing to people with same-sex attraction, Pastor Tom Eckstein, pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota. He's chairman of the God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored the book Bearing Their Burden and an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled How Do I Help Them? Pastor Eckstein, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back, Todd.
First of all, let's talk about that question of help versus harm. Before we even begin a conversation, maybe the first part of the conversation is somehow to demonstrate in a genuine way that we're not there to demean them, to harm them in any whatsoever, but in fact to offer them the greatest help that can be afforded. How do we go about that? That's the toughest part, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, one of the things I mentioned at a couple places in my article, too, is I think to help them realize that we're there to help them and not harm them is, first of all, build a relationship with them, show them that we genuinely care, that we're not just there to make a point or tell them that they're sinners, even though at some point we need to help them see through the light of God's word that if they're involved in same-sex behavior, that this is not God's plan for them. But ultimately, our goal is to lead them to Christ and also help them to see that same-sex behavior is not their biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the root cause of any of our sins, whether they're sins of commission or sins of omission, and that is, by nature, we from Adam, we are enemies of God. But then helping them see that in Christ, through his work for us, we have forgiveness and a new beginning in Jesus.
Okay, I'm glad you said that second part there, that really we approach them as one who shares a common problem with them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as I've done ministry with people who struggle with same-sex attraction, you know, I point out to them, you know, even though I might not be able to relate to their particular a sexual sin issue, I certainly understand what it means to have to struggle with heterosexual temptation. And then outside of that, there are hundreds of others of non-sexual sins as well. And I try to point out to people that I'm just as much of a sinner as they are. I'm just as much in need of Jesus as they are. I'm not there standing over them, condemning them, but I'm there as a fellow beggar, showing them where our Savior is. And I think when you approach people in that way, it really does a lot to overcome this idea that we're there to somehow put them down or degrade them.
And we're not talking about a homogenous group of people. I mean, we really are talking about people of all walks of life, of beliefs, worldviews. Let's begin with, say, the non-Christian who has same-sex attraction.
Absolutely. I think of one occasion someone asked me for advice how to witness to his friend who was involved in the same-sex lifestyle. And before I answered, I said, well, tell me a little bit more about your friend. And then, make a long story short, I found out his friend was Hindu. And I said, well, you know, if your friend is Hindu, you probably don't want to start with the same-sex issue. You know, there's bigger things to tackle at this point. You know, someone in that situation, they don't even know who the true God is. So begin by, again, building a relationship with them, but then telling them about who the true God is. Let them know about some more core teachings of the faith: creation, the fall into sin, who Jesus is, the person and work of Christ, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to have that forgiveness even in the midst of our struggle with sin. And once you lay that foundation with the non-Christian, you'll be in a much better position to eventually deal with that particular same-sex issue in his life.
Should we also at the outset here distinguish, and it occurs to me when I hear you giving that answer, distinguish between a same-sex attraction and, because there are all sorts of positions here on the spectrum, someone who simply has same-sex attraction, or is they'd say maybe confused, curious, and someone who has fully embraced the same-sex lifestyle in everything that it entails and everything in between. Should we make those distinctions?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are some people who aren't really sure what their preferences are. They're seeking. and then there's, one of the issues I mentioned in my article, that there may be the Christian who has same-sex attraction, but he or she agrees it's wrong. And by the grace of God, they're striving to live a pure life. These people don't need to be condemned with the law. They need to be built up with the gospel, especially assuring them that even though they may have same-sex attraction, in Christ they are forgiven and holy in God's sight, and by his strength they strive to resist that desire and not act on it.
The other end of the spectrum may be someone who has been a Christian, who has struggled, and who has come to the conclusion that Christianity is nothing but kind of a backward and cruel commentary on their same-sex attraction, and has rejected it. Talk about that group of people.
Yeah, you know, one of the points I make in my article is, you know, how do I witness to the angry, bitter former Christian? And I've met a few people like this who sadly were in a particular Christian denomination where sadly they were taught that homosexuality is either worse than other sins or maybe even unforgivable. And they heard was the law, condemnation, but very little or any gospel about forgiveness. In fact, I've met some people who, where they finally threw up their arms in disgust, because what they were being taught in their church anyway was that, you know, until you completely make a break with not only same-sex behavior, but even your same-sex desires, until you to give those up in your life, your salvation's in question. And finally, that just led to some of these people to say, well, if that's how God is, I don't want anything to do with them, because they ended up in despair. And in many cases, you need to let these people vent. In some cases, they were deeply, deeply hurt by some in the Christian church. And I think we need to let, you know, acknowledge that, hey, if you were wounded, that was our bad, and we ask for your forgiveness. But then help them to see that the perspective of God that they may have been taught, this God who demands perfection from us before he'll love us, is not the true God at all. Help them to see the true God who hung on the cross for us, even though he knew about every sin we'd ever commit, including the ones we haven't done yet, and still died for us and hung there and shed his blood for us. And then lead these people to the God who truly does love them, and the God who can rescue them from their bitterness and despair.
Pastor Tom Heckstein is our guest. We're talking about witnessing to people of same-sex attraction on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll take a break and have just a few more minutes with him to round off today's program. Talk a little bit not only about that angry former Christian who may have, well, they may have a reason to be angry. We'll talk about that after the break, but also the misled Christian and that person who is simply broken by their own attractions. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Eckstein is our guest, author of the book Bearing Their Burden, and an article in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled How Do I Help Them? We're talking about witnessing to people with same-sex attraction. Tom, one more question on the person who is kind of the angry former Christian. Should we acknowledge that, as in the example you gave before the break, someone who had been taught or mistaught that homosexuality is a sin of a greater caliber than any other, or perhaps even unforgivable, should we acknowledge, look, you have reason to be angry about that, because that wasn't true?
Oh, absolutely. I think some of these people, we need to let them vent. We need to listen to them because in some cases they were actually spiritually abused. If they were taught, you know, your sin is unforgivable or God will love you until you clean up your act or eliminate your same-sex desires. I mean, they were taught falsely and driven to despair, and they have a reason to be angry. But at the same time, we need to then say, okay, we understand how you were hurt, but now let us introduce you to the true God who loves you unconditionally and is here to bring you forgiveness and healing.
What about the person who has same-sex attraction, but they have been taught quite the opposite of what that previous person had taught? They have been said, no, you are affirmed in this. There may be sins, but yours is not among them. The misled Christian, as you say.
Yeah, and here's where it gets tricky, because you will find some Christians, they will say, hey, they probably believe almost everything we believe about the core teachings of the faith and other things, but disagree with us on this issue. And in many cases, because they've been misled by these very subtle and at least at first seemingly very convincing arguments that would suggest the Bible doesn't condemn consensual monogamous same-sex relationships. If these people are truly serious about the fact that God is authoritative, God's word is authoritative for teaching and life, and they simply think we have misinterpreted it, then the best thing you can do with people like this is to say, hey, can we go on a journey together? Can we take some time just to study the scriptures together? If we both agree the Bible is the inspired and inerrant word of God, wonderful, but we think one of us has been misled, well, then let's clearly go through the scriptures and dig deep and find out. And then begin with the humble assertion, listen, if you can show me with scripture that I'm wrong, then I will repent. But at the same time, would you be willing to say the same, that if I can show you that you've been misled, that you will repent and submit to God's word on this issue? And at that point, you'll find out if the people who say that they believe the Bible is God's word, if they're really serious about that or not. But I have seen some situations where when people found out what scripture actually did teach about that issue, the light came on and they realized, oh my goodness, I've been misled on this issue. And then they were willing to submit to God's truth as he teaches on this in scripture.
And we need to acknowledge that there is no shortage of arguments being made in ostensibly Christian churches, some of them in name only, but others which are still retain remnants of Christian truth. There's no shortage of arguments saying, what God condemned in the Old Testament, he no longer condemns today.
Exactly. And I honestly, I believe it's possible for some people to be sincere Christians. They truly do believe that they are sinners and that Jesus is their Savior. But on this particular issue, they've simply been misled. And I think we need to then be prepared to very humbly and lovingly ask them to go on a journey and study Scripture with them on that issue. And if they're serious about it, and prayerfully, I'm convinced that when you really do dig deep and look at these revisionist arguments that try to change what Scripture clearly says on this issue, once you're willing to dig deep and really look at what these arguments are saying, their lack of substance is quickly revealed.
The final category, so to speak, that we're dealing with here is what you call the burdened and broken person. Who is that?
This is the person who they have same-sex desire. They may be even involved in same-sex behavior, but they've never heard the gospel. All they've heard is condemnation and that their sin deserves God's wrath. But they've never heard that Christ died for this sin too, and that there is forgiveness even as they continue to struggle not only with their desires, but even with their behaviors. And that finally, it's only the gospel, the news that God forgives us in the midst of our sin and shame, only that gives us the power to finally begin to turn around and live a new life. So if you meet somebody, for example, and you find out that they're involved in same-sex behavior, do not immediately presume that they're a hardened, arrogant sinner. That might not be the case at all. Get to know them, and you might find out that they're broken and in despair, and they just assume they're on their way to hell because there's no hope for them. The last thing that person needs is more law. They need tons of gospel.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds here, is it important that we also emphasize, look, I'm not here to turn you straight. I'm here just to give you the same word of God that I've heard myself as a sinner.
Absolutely. You know, even though I have met some people who did experience some sort of transformation in their orientation, I've also met many, many other people who didn't experience any change at all. They continue to struggle with same-sex attraction. But it's important to let them know, hey, we're not here to change you. We're here to point you to Jesus, the one who died and rose for sinners like us, who will struggle with any number of desires of the sinful flesh until the day we die. But even in the midst of that struggle, we have forgiveness and love, and we're holy in God's sight through him. And it's that good news that actually gives us not only the strength, but the desire to want to resist the desires of our sinful nature, because we know that God has something so much better for us.
Pastor Tom Eckstein is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota, chairman of the God's Gift Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, author of Bearing Their Burden and an article in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, How Do I Help Them? You can purchase Bearing Their Burdens at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
My privilege.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Miriam Grossman about the movie 50 Shades of Grey. We'll also discuss the excommunication of a Mormon podcaster. Bill McKeever will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.